Hey, we're going to go to Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8 on this Resurrection Sunday. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, as we consider the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means. Jesus' resurrection was not like anyone else's. There are others who have risen from the dead. Jesus is not the only person who ever rose from the dead. The Bible has multiple people who rose from the dead. Even in modern times, we've heard stories and known of individuals who died and were raised back to life, folks who flatlined and came back. So there's nothing unique about the fact that Jesus died and rose. It's happened before then. It happened since then. However, Jesus' resurrection was unlike any other resurrection that ever took place in its significance in our lives. And we'll look at that today. Let me read verses 1 through 8 from the Gospel of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the account of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, as we remember it today, that it will not simply be a story we remember, although we recognize the importance even of that, but that it will be an equipping word that helps us to understand what you did, Lord God, and how it applies in our lives, Lord God, that we might walk in victory and live for you as you have raised us to new life to do, Lord God. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me now? Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for raising him from the dead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It wasn't normal. It wasn't routine. There was nothing ordinary about what happened in the burial of Jesus Christ. Burial, of course, was ordinary. Tombs were normal. Had we lived in first century Palestine, being buried by digging a hole in the ground would have been very uncommon in that day. But in first century Palestine, tombs were very common. To dig a hole out in a cave, and you would lay the body on a shelf in there, and whole families would be buried in one location. That part of it was very normal, but Jesus' burial was still very abnormal, because when the stone was put in place, guards were posted at the entrance of the tomb. That was not normal at all. You don't need guards at a tomb. The guy inside, hello, he's not going anywhere. And people who are alive generally aren't trying to get in. So guards, you don't go to the cemetery and see people standing guard at the graves, over the graves in the cemetery either. It doesn't take place. That wasn't normal at all to be going on at this time. And Jesus' burial was not normal. The Pharisees and the religious leaders were concerned that Jesus' disciples were going to come and steal the body, and that they would lie and say Jesus rose from the dead. So things were handled differently. The tomb was sealed, a stone was put in place, and then centurions were posted to keep watch. It didn't work. It didn't work. It might have worked as far as what they thought, but it didn't work because the disciples weren't coming to get Jesus' body out of the tomb. The Holy Spirit was coming. Come on, church. Amen? And it wouldn't matter that you had posted centurions there. Because Jesus had died on a Sabbath, his body had never been properly prepared for burial according to the customs of his day. This would normally have taken place before they ever put his body in the tomb. But as we read today, the women in our text were coming to prepare his already buried body for burial, and they were faced with this dilemma, as we read. How are we going to get in? I mean, the guards aren't going to help us. How are we going to get in there? And they would arrive to discover that they wouldn't need any help. The stone had already been rolled away. They would enter to discover that there was no body to prepare. Jesus wasn't in the tomb. Jesus, of course, was alive. That stone had already been rolled away. The stone, of course, was not rolled away to let Jesus out. Jesus did not need the stone removed to get out of the tomb. After Jesus' resurrection, the Bible tells us that he passed through walls and just appeared in rooms and disappeared and showed up in other locations. Jesus didn't need the stone to be rolled away. He would have resurrected and could have walked right through the rock. Hello. He was different in his glorified body at that time. The stone was rolled away so that we could get in, so that the women could get in, so that we could see, in fact, that Jesus' body was no longer there. I mean, how would we believe in a literal resurrection of Christ if we couldn't get in to confirm that his body was gone? But his body was gone. And after Jesus' resurrection, he would reveal himself to others on 13 different occasions. Hundreds witnessed his resurrected body. There was no doubt about it. Jesus was alive. I heard a preacher on the radio one time speaking, and he said he didn't need a literal physical resurrection of Jesus' body to believe in the principles of Scripture, that the truths were still real. But I would not simply beg to differ. I will tell you he is flat out wrong. I need a resurrected body, because resurrection means so much. Jesus is alive. Amen. It assures us of some truths that we would have no assurance of others. It gives us otherwise. It gives us hope and it gives us promise. And the first thing I want you to catch today is that resurrection assures us that we have been justified. That we have been justified. That's a big church word, but stay with me. When I moved to Maryland, I had not been here long, and my wife and I prepared our documents to head to what we had all of our lives called the DMV. We now understand that the DMV is the whole DC metro area, and here you go to the MVA. Maryland is unique in this. So I remember walking into Melissa's office saying, I go to the DMV, and she's like, you're already in the DMV. So the MVA we had to learn. So we prepared our documents to go to the MVA, and we got there, and they transferred our vehicles and gave us new Maryland license plates, and they transferred my wife's driver's license, and they gave her a new Maryland driver's license, but they would not give me a Maryland driver's license. Something showed up on my record. Something. Confession is good for the soul, right? Confession is good for the soul. Something popped up on my record. It turned out it was just a simple thing. Trust me, there have been more serious things. But my easy pass at some point in time in New York had not read, when I had an easy pass, but it hadn't read, the toll had not been paid. And because I had left New York, and we spent almost a year traveling all over the place as we were traveling in ministry and working with Convoy and different things, and the Motor Vehicle Association in New York had been sending notices to me to tell me that I needed to pay this toll, but I was never getting them. They were going back to the DMV, as we call it there. But the MVA in Maryland knew all about it. New York had reported this. It showed up in the record. It was on there that I had not paid the toll. So now Maryland would not let me transfer because my debt had not been paid. It was something like $6, I kid you not. $6, but until it was paid, no license, my crime had to be paid for. I paid it that same day. I literally paid it that same day, but that wasn't enough. I had to have proof. And I called the New York Division of Motor Vehicles to have them clear my name so that I could have a Maryland driver's license. And they said, you have to come in person and bring us the receipt. I'm like, in person? I'm in D.C. Like, what are you talking about? So now I had to arrange to drive all the way back to New York so that I could walk into the Motor Vehicle Association in New York and hand them my receipt to say, hey, the people in Maryland will not let me drive. Please call Maryland and tell them, let him drive. Let him drive. Here's the receipt. I paid the toll. My debt has been cleared. And once it's been paid, then that would be the case, that it would be cleared. And now I would get to. That's how it is with our sin. It had to be paid for. And the price was death, far more severe than my $6. So God sent his son to pay the price for our sin. But how would we know that it had been paid? New York wouldn't take my word for it on the phone. They didn't trust me. They're like, we don't know who you are. You could just be making stuff up. We want to see something. We want the receipt. We want the paper. I'm like, couldn't I email it to you? No. Fax it? No. Courier pigeon? No, we want you to come here, bring us the receipt so that we know that it was paid. With Jesus, we could say, how would we know that our sin was paid for? What is the evidence? Is there a receipt? You get a receipt when you pay for something. There's a nursery not too far from my home where we live now, and I've been there a few times to pick things up. I've bought mulch there, and I've bought a Christmas tree there, and the way it works is you go inside, and you pay at the counter, and they give you the receipt. Then you go get in your vehicle, and with your New York driver's license, because Maryland won't let you have one, you drive around to the place where there are guys who load your vehicle. And when you get over there, you get out and you tell them, I bought mulch, 6 bags, 8 bags, 10 bags, whatever you bought. But the man will not put the mulch in your car until he sees something. What does he want? He says, don't be coming down here from New York taking our mulch. Where's the receipt? And you have to show him the receipt. And when he sees the receipt, he puts the Christmas tree on your car or he puts the mulch in your vehicle. He wants to know that it has been paid. Well, once the price was paid for our sins through the cross of Calvary, a receipt would be issued. Evidence of payment would be issued. Just like when you purchase things at CVS and you're handed evidence of payment that's like a mile long, God would roll the stone away and the empty tomb, resurrection, is the evidence that everything has been paid for and that we have been justified. Jesus was raised for our justification as evidence that all has been paid. Resurrection assures me that I am justified before God. See, if I don't know that Jesus literally rose from the dead, then I don't know if I'm really in right standing with God. But he was raised from the dead. He is alive. This guarantees us the payment is accepted. Check this out, Romans 4, 23 through 25. Romans 4, 23 through 25. The words it was credited to him were not written for him alone, but also for us. Somebody say, for me. To whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Romans 4, 23 through 25. You don't have to live your life wondering, am I really forgiven? You don't have to live your life wondering, am I really in right standing with God? If I ever thought to myself, I wonder if I'm really right with God. I wonder if God really forgave me. Maybe I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to stand before God and find out my sins weren't really forgiven. And he's going to say, no, you don't get into heaven. If it ever was to cross your mind, am I really made whole? Am I really made right with God? You have a receipt. Come on. You have a receipt. Just as I would walk up and say, put the mulch in my car. Give me my driver's license. The tomb is empty. The tomb being empty shows me that I have been justified before God and that the price has been paid, praise God. Payment was accepted. Amen? Praise God. Resurrection also assures us that no charges will ever stick against us. The charges won't stick. No charge leveled against the child of God will stand. Even if you've never been to court, you know that when you get there, charges are brought against you. The crimes or the violations you are accused of are read. This doesn't mean you're guilty. It just means that you're charged, that you're accused. One time I was charged with a violation that I did not commit. I've been charged with plenty of violations that I did commit. My driving has not always been impeccable, I must confess, as I stand before you. But one time, I was charged with a violation that I did not commit. I was driving down the road. I turned out of a street. I was just hardly pulling off. In fact, the street I turned out of probably was not much farther than the hallway behind this room. I'm just pulled out of this side street, and immediately, the police car had flashing lights behind me. And I pulled right over, and I was like, what in the world? And I pulled over, and the officer came up, and I put my window down, and he said to me, he says, can I see your driver's license and registration? And I was like, sure. And as I handed it to him, I said, officer, can I ask you why you pulled me over? I don't even know why you pulled me over. And he says, I clocked you going 55 and a 30. 55 and a 30. And I turned around when he said it. I turned around, and I said, but officer, I said, I just pulled out of that street right there. Like the street that's right there behind us. I just pulled out of that road. He says, I know. I saw you pull out of that street. This really happened to me. I thought I was on like a prank show or something. And I said, but officer, that would mean that I pulled out of that street, accelerated to 55 miles an hour. You clocked me on your radar gun, pulled out, caught up with me, and pulled me over. And we're sitting here. And all of that happened from here to there. And he says, and that's exactly what happened. Give me your driver's license and registration. I was like, I don't believe this. Yeah. Sarai wants to know if I was in the buggy. I used to have a Volkswagen Beetle. I might have been. I don't know. But anyway, I don't even know if I could have done that speed. So anyway, I gave it to him, and he wrote me up. And while he was writing me the violation, I was taking pictures. I'm taking pictures to show how far the distance is and all, because I was like, oh, we're going to court over this one. Yeah, this isn't going to work. And when I got to court, I, of course, explained my whole story to the judge. Your Honor, this is what happened. Here's where I was. I said, I don't understand, but there's just no scientifically way possible that I ever could have accelerated to that rate of speed and that short of a distance and been pulled. And when I explained my story, the judge said, charges dismissed. And it was thrown out. So that was good. Yes, I needed that. So you can clap. I was wonderful in court. If you ever need an attorney, make sure you call me during the week, and I'll be sure to represent you, and I'll help you out with that. But anyway, I had an accuser in that situation. I had charges, but they were dismissed. Well, in the spiritual judicial system, you have an accuser. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. I want to say of the sistren as well, but I don't think that's really a word. But the devil is a liar. He is the father of all lies. But when it comes to sin, he doesn't have to lie because we've all sinned, and he levels charges against us. He accuses us of breaking God's law, but resurrection assures us the charges will not stick. They will not stand. Check this out. Romans 8, 31 through 34. It says this. Romans 8, 31 through 34. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Romans 8, 31 through 34. You don't have to live life again wondering, are you in right standing with God? You don't have to live life wondering what's going to happen when I die and I stand before God and charges are brought against me. What's going to happen in that day? What's going to happen in that day when I stand before God and the accuser of the brethren says, he did this and he did this and he did this, and Jesus is going to be like, I paid for that. I got that. It's all taken care of. Come on. Amen. Nothing's going to stand. Nothing's going to stick in that context. No one can bring a charge. The empty tomb is your proof, But wait, there's more. It's like an infomercial. There's more. Resurrection also assures us that death is not the final word. Death is not the final word. Everybody dies. If you're with someone, don't move. Don't give them COVID. Bad joke. Yeah. So if you're near somebody, I want you to turn to them right now and just break the news to them. Tell them, hey, you're going to die. Go ahead. Tell them. Let somebody know. It's true. Everybody is going to die. Everybody is going. We know that. We know that. I hate to be the one to break it to you if nobody ever told you up until now. It happens. It is appointed unto man once to die, the Bible tells us. But death isn't the end. And resurrection assures us of this, that death is not the end. Look at these great promises with me. Romans 8:11 first. Romans 8:11 says, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you," and he is when we're in Christ, "he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." Death is not final. Check this out, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." 2 Corinthians 4, 14 through 16. Now, I don't always eat smart. My wife could rat on me. I do pretty good at times. I try to stay relatively healthy, but I don't always eat smart. I like to eat junk food sometimes as well. Where are my fellow junk food eaters? Come on, yeah, there's some of us out there. We're like, sometimes, man, we blow it. I try to exercise, but I don't always do it. I don't always get the miles in along the way as try as I might. But even though I try to take decent care of myself, guess what? I'm still wasting away. What phraseology? That's the language of the Bible. It says that. It said we are wasting away. Look at your neighbor and see if you can tell they're wasting away. But don't tell them. Don't tell them. Don't say it to them. Yeah. You're wasting away, it says. I'm like, what language to use, Paul? It doesn't matter whether you use Bowflex or Botox, exercise or jazzercise or hold the fries or whatever else, or Pilates or aerobics. You can go out gracefully or you can fight till the end, but one day our bodies give out. We breathe their last breath. One day my body will give out. There isn't anything that I can do to stop it. It will happen to mine as well. And when that happens, you will take my mortal body and you will put it in the ground and you will bury it. And then after you bury it, you will all come back here to the church. And some of you will bring potato salad and macaroni salad, and somebody will bring some ham and some rolls or something. And you'll all get around and you'll eat potato salad and you'll tell stories about me. And you'll be like, "Ha ha, remember that time Pastor preached in the snow? What a nut. Is there any more potato salad?" And you'll all stand around and you'll eat and you'll tell stories about me and have fun, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. You know why? Because I know death is not final. I know it's not really the end. I know it isn't really over at that time. I know that the grave is not my final destination. You can put me in the ground, but guess what? I'm getting back up. I'm getting back up. Jesus' resurrection assures me that my mortal body will resurrect as well to be reunited with my spirit one day. Death was not victorious. And because death was not victorious over Jesus, it assures us that death will not be victorious over us as well. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the key of death and the grave." Death can't lock you up because Jesus has the keys. He has the keys. He will open it up. It's Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's a big deal. And the tomb being empty means everything. It means everything. It means we have been justified. The price has been paid. It means no charges will ever stand against us. The cross was enough. It means that death knows no victory. It didn't over Christ, and it won't over you. Knowing that the tomb is empty, knowing that you can't take me to the dead body of Jesus Christ, means everything to me, because it assures me that my faith is real, that your faith is real. Amen? Jesus is alive. Come on, give God praise as you stand to your feet. Come on. Come on, stand to your feet as you give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Keep praising him. Keep praising him as our worship team comes. Keep praising him. Thank Him for new life in Him. I want you to be assured of the truths of God's Word today. I want you to be assured in your heart of being in a right place with God. Now, if you've joined us here today, or if you're watching online, and you are not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, everything that I just said, as great as it sounds, it doesn't apply to you. It doesn't apply to you. You're on your own. You're on your own when you die to figure out what's going to happen, and you sure don't want to be in that place. You sure don't want to be in. I want to know that Jesus took care of everything for me. Amen? So I want to encourage you and challenge you. If you are not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, the time to begin one is right now. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus died to set us free. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins. Jesus died to give us new life in Him. And it's big. I don't want to make light of it. It's big because God wants your life. He gave His life for us and He wants our lives. But as we pray and say, God, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, live in my heart. Be the Lord of my life. As we make that commitment, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, come on, all. Somebody say all. From all unrighteousness. And then we say, man, will it work? Will it work? Will He really forgive me of everything? Will He really wash it all away? The tomb is empty. Resurrection is what assures us of justification. You can't believe Jesus rose from the dead and believe that your sins are still hanging on you. You can't. The two don't go hand in hand. It would mean the price has not been paid. If you show the man the receipt, you get the mulch. Come on. If I show the motor vehicle place, I paid the toll, I get the license. It's how it works. You have a receipt. The empty tomb assures you that the price was paid. You just accept that and live in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He washes it all away. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let's give Him thanks. Let's give Him thanks. Hallelujah. Give Him thanks for what He did, the price paid. And then when I'm done praying, let's sing this again and worship together before we slip out too quick on this day. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You. Resurrection means everything. Your plan was incredible, Lord God. Who could have come up with such a plan that You would send Your only Son to die for us, but then not only die, but that on the third day You would raise Him from the dead to show us. If it was just the cross, maybe we would wonder. Maybe we would say, are we sure? But the tomb is empty. The price was accepted. The price was paid. It was enough. It was enough. You've made that very clear to us. So we thank You, Lord God, on this Resurrection Sunday that we stand in right standing before You when we're in relationship with You. Our souls and hearts have been cleansed. We've been made new. Oh, Lord God, we know we don't always come through, but we're so glad Jesus did. Jesus did. And we rest in the hope and the promise of resurrection. I pray for anybody listening to me today, Lord God, who's not in a relationship with You. I pray that they won't leave today without asking You to come and live in their heart through faith, without asking You to forgive them of all their sins, Lord God, and beginning a new life in You as well. Save their soul, even as You have ours. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church said, amen. Let's sing this together. Hallelujah.
The victory is Yours. You're riding on the storm. Your name is unfailing. No kingdoms rise and fall. Your throne withstands it all. Your name is unshakable.
the name of Jesus. Come on. Somebody speak the name of Jesus. Say Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, to dismiss you today, and you don't have to rush right out. You guys can continue to lead us. It can be that, or you can do another one of the songs you've done. Take your liberty with that, Juliana. But what we want to avoid, what we still want to avoid, because we're still in this season and we're trying to be careful, is we want to avoid a traffic jam, a log jam in the lobby. So if you will be very patient in the dismissal process, just keep worshiping for a bit more. You can do that. But our ushers will begin from the back of the room and they'll kind of walk forward. If they get to your row and you're just not ready to leave yet, just stay right where you are. It's all right. You can just keep your seat. Let those out around you if you will. But we're going to dismiss you. The lobby has to get out as well. And we just want you to take your time with that. God bless you as we celebrate the resurrection. Let's praise a little bit more. Amen.